Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Oh, come on, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth through all generations. Big mama and big daddy. Amen? Amen. Let's bow today. Father, we thank you. We get joy when we think about what you've done for us. Just because you're God. Didn't need anything big to happen this week. Just the fact that you kept us is enough. In our right minds, and kept the roof over our heads, and kept a dollar or two in our pocket, and gave us a car, and get back and forth to work, gave us jobs to go to, gave us a home we can lay our heads down at night and get up early the next morning saying, thank you, Jesus. So we come today now to encounter your word, hear what you have to say today, what word you have for your people. As always, help me to decrease that you might increase. Save someone today. Encourage another, and we'll give your name the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to bring your attention. You can take your seats today. From the Gospel of Mark, and I'm using the Message version of the Bible. The Message version. Mark 3, 31, 32. It says, just then his mother and brothers showed up standing outside. They relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. He was surrounded by the crowd when he was given the message. Your mother and brothers and sister are outside looking for you. Verse 33 through 35, Jesus responded, who do you think are my mother and brothers? Looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, right here, right in front of you, my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and sister and mother. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, very simply, blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water. It's a proverb that we have used down through the years. We cannot pin it on any particular person. But what it means is that relationships have loyalty. That you're a part of an earthly family, and no matter what goes down, family sticks together. You may be at odds, you may fuss, you may fight, but don't let anybody else mess with your family. I mean, folks would come from around and say, now that's my brother. Some of y'all know about going to get y'all big sister and get your big brother, and you may have been that person because your family told you that no matter what happens, stick together. You know, I remember the 1970s. I was young at that time, but my sisters would take out their little 45 RPMs, dust them off, and one song they put on that played all during the summer was a song called It's a Family Affair. A hit by Sliding the Family Stone. But y'all start singing that now. And there's one part that says, one child grows up to be somebody that just loves to learn. Yeah. Another child grows up to be somebody we just love to burn. Mom loves them both. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good to mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair. Some of y'all about ready to sing that thing up in here. Y'all know the beat. If not, You can get it on Google. But you know, I actually lived that particular situation my freshman year of college. I came home one weekend and hung out with my brother. It was really a juke joint, wasn't much of a club. But as I got there, I was surveying the area, and I noticed that an argument was going down, and that it was my brother and someone else. And I just was being, you know, I'll just watch it. No need to do anything, because brother could fight. So I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, he'd come to my rescue many a times. But there came a moment when my brother was on the ground, and the guy was on him. And I just had to say, wait a minute. That's my brother. We sleep in the same room, eat at the same table. So I stepped over while he was under the bottom, balled up my fist, and did not a Muhammad Ali, but I hit that brother. I mean, with all I had. Giving my brother enough time to regain himself. And all you heard was, oh, the Tootin boys are tag teaming. And all I could think of is that at the end of the day, blood is thicker than water. I want to suggest this morning that Jesus Christ had a divine perspective on this whole notion that blood is thicker than water. His father, Joseph, was the town carpenter. His mother, Mary, well known. You know her story. The angel comes to her and tells her she will bear a Christ child and that the Father is the Holy Spirit. As you can imagine, that made headline news. But she watched him from his birth to the baptism, from the temptation by Satan himself, to seeing him cast out demons right in the synagogue. She watched her son. And at some point, Mama pulled rank. There in that 21st verse of Mark 3, there was a committee of family that came together and said, you know what? I think Jesus is out of his mind. They watched what he was doing. They noticed the crowds that were following him. But there was a family concern. Some of you all know that in your own experience, there was a family meeting and you were the subject of conversation. Word had got around that you had lost your mind, so to speak. And somebody started calling you, are you okay? And so can you imagine that Jesus outdoing the work of his father, his mother who's caring and concerned comes around and says, there's something wrong, you need to come on in. And by the time we get to the text this morning, the family comes again. Keep in mind that Jesus, even though Joseph was his earthly father, that there were other children that Mary and Joseph had. There were sisters and brothers of Jesus Christ. In fact, James, the writer in the book, he is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. A little theology there, amen? By the time they get to this place, they come up around the crowd, and the question is asked, I see Jesus. Can someone go tell him that his mother and his brother and his sisters are looking for him? Now, it wasn't a big arena. He was just away, and maybe they couldn't get through the crowd to reach him. But blood is thicker than water. So the fact that your mama showed up, the fact that your sisters and brothers showed up, you would think, oh, God, I know he's coming now. But maybe they didn't realize fully what he was about. I thought about it on the modern tip. You know, maybe they sent him a text. Maybe they tried to FaceTime Jesus. Maybe they tried to Instagram him. And just no response. But finally, there comes to a place that Jesus displays a blood is thicker than water moment. And firstly, he makes positive identifications. Verse 33 says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Now, what do you mean, Jesus? Do you not know that your mother is outside? Did you not know that your sisters and brothers are there? But he makes a positive ID. He knows who they are. But he's about a different mission at that time. You know, you got to have ID. And so positive ID could be a passport, a visa, it could be your driver's license, but it means you got to have proof that you're who you say you are. I remember on 9/11, that tragic day, that we were scrambling to get to different places to see what was happening in the news, and it was the one day I left my wallet at home. Tim, go to police headquarters. And because of what was happening, they knew me, but they couldn't let me in. What do you mean? So you don't have an ID. I said, but I'm with a crew. Yeah, but you don't have an ID. But I know, but I've got my Uzi, and the world is coming apart, and you don't have identification. And at some point, one of the commanders spoke for me and said, well, we'll let him in, but we need to have ID. He knew who they were, and he posed the question, who is my brother? Who is my mother? He was not trying to be funny. He was more concerned not about the physical family connections, but more about the family of God. He didn't have amnesia. He knew who his mama was. He knew his brothers and sisters. But he made this ID in terms of the spirit person. Amen? He's more concerned about the family of God. Because families in the physical can get a little funny. But in the spiritual, we are all God's children. Well, you didn't sound like you're some kin to me now. We're all God's children. And so therefore, he's able to talk about this spiritual sense, this spiritual reality in explaining to them. He sees them through a divine set of lenses. I know who you are, but I also know who you are. I know who you are, but I'm also concerned about who you are. And we must start to see people that way in our own life, to see them as Christ sees them, to see them through the blood of Jesus Christ. Had it not been for the Lord on your side, I mean, folk would still be telling your story. But the new story is how I got over. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. There were certain requirements. Nicodemus, a big shot, wanted to know how could he get eternal life. And there in John 3:7, he meets with Christ at night. He said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to gain eternal life? We've all had those Nicodemus moments. Amen. He says, you must be born again. That's old school. Folk don't talk that way anymore. Child, you got to be born again. What you mean? Yeah, you got to be born again. The old you need to go out the door. The new you needs to be born. Didn't them old saints say that? Yes, you need to be converted, sugar. You're not living right. You must be born again. There's a positive identification, but he displays some personal insight. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother. Here are my brothers. That he has this ability to see beyond the natural. He has this ability to see beyond who we are on the outside. Aren't you glad that God looks at the heart, that while man looks on the outward appearance and say, you're going to make much, that God says, oh, I'm excited about that. God says, oh, you can be somebody. Why? Because I've got certain information on you to know that you are truly one of my disciples. And those who were around him were puzzled. Jesus, word is your mama and them, and you tell us that how can we be your brother and sisters? They didn't quite get it. we're not really kin. I know my Uncle Joseph and your Aunt Nellie, but I don't see the connection yet. Some of y'all got fifth, seventh, eighth, ninth cousins, and you say, well, hey, cuz, you're like, cuz, I don't quite know how we're connected. But they were saying, he was saying, there's something deeper. I see more in you. Amen? And it is to embrace who God says you are. And even in that crowd were those who meant him no good. And he was telling some rascals who had plans to do him wrong. He was weeding out, saying, I'm looking at all of you, but you are my brothers. And you are my sisters, even when there was an agenda. And God looks at us that way. And so while blood is thicker than water, he really saw another perspective about who we can all become. Folk may not know you like that, but God does. I'm glad that in the family portrait of God, I'm the one in the center on the left-hand side making faces. Aren't you glad that you're in God's portrait? That's me right over, no, right behind the, and so when you look at the body of Christ, you ought to see a portrait of God's kingdom that we all can. Look at y'all, I see over to the left and over to the right. And so we are a part of that family. And because of that, he knows, that's why he says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, because I know you like that. Even when the world may not know that you need rest, when your family does not recognize that you're beaten, worn down, and tired, he says, I know, because I know you like that. I got an insight that nobody else knows, and I come to help you. So there was this positive ID, and there was this sense of a personal insight, but also, and finally, he has some personal intentions. That while they were still getting excited, but oh man, he said, we in the family. Give me five. Praise God. He says, whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. And that changes the equation a little bit. Oh, I got to do what you say do. Oh, I got to live right. Oh, I got to follow you. Oh, okay. That his intention was, there was a goal he has for each of us. An intention is this sense of obedience is thicker than blood. Obey God's will. Do it God's way. God was not anti-family. He was pro-obedience. Say that again. He was not anti-family. He'll be at your reunion, but he is also pro-obedience. In other words, do what I've asked you to do. Our faith is what sets the stage for that. Those set of rules, those guidelines, the handbook, which is the Holy Bible, that there is something that must go into this. You don't just become, I'm on the team, I'm in the family. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who pulls you up, a God who will correct you, a God who will guide you along the right way? Yeah, I like that kind of God. You don't want a God to go easy on you and let you do your own thing, anything you want to do. But, you know, blood is thicker than water. There are strings attached. If you do the will of my Father, then you become my brother. Yeah, right on. Do the will of my Father, then you become my sister. The will of my Father, then you become my mother. Amen? Spiritually. And see, we've become too comfortable with God. We've got a jukebox mentality. Put a coin in. Hear a song. Get your dance on. Some of y'all have been on the dance floor. And move on. But we don't serve that kind of God. You don't just show up when you need something. He'll come anytime, but you got to continue to stay in fellowship with him so that he knows just who you are. First Samuel reminds us, as it relates to those burnt offerings, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? So do you agree that blood is thicker than water? You still go with that premise? Well, me too. But it's not about the thickness of the blood. It's about the power of the blood. See, the blood was necessary to save my soul and to save your soul. The blood was needed for me to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners like me plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. And that's what his blood did. That I didn't need this fame or fortune, but I need his blood. I don't need family per se, but I need his blood. I don't need friends and so-called friends, but I need the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Why? It removes all of my guilty stains. I was guilty, but he marked me as being accepted. I was guilty, but he marked me as being blessed. I was guilty, but he told me that I've been cared for. I was guilty, but he empowered me. I was guilty, but he told me that I was still faithful. I was guilty, but he told me that I got to be God-centered. I was guilty, but he told me that I've saved you. Amen. Won't he clean your sins away? You don't need Ajax or Clorox or Lysol or Mr. Clean or shout it out, but then I don't mind shouting it out because sometimes you go through life and you need to shout it out. Isn't God good? Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed me whiter than what we're going to get in a day or two. He washed me whiter than the five-day forecast. He washed me more than a nor'easter. And there's something about when he washes me, I know that I've been redeemed. Do I have a witness today? I'm just glad today for the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And that makes me happy. That blood is thicker than water in the natural, but the blood is what I need in the spiritual. Even when family gets funny, I got the blood. Even when there's a little art with the family, you didn't call me on my birthday, but there's the blood. And there ought to be a connection and a bridge that if you are so excited about the love of Jesus, why can't you bridge the gap? I've kind of gone someplace there because some of us have issues with the natural family that we can't work out until there's some healing on the spiritual side. Sermon's over. I'm just trying to minister beyond that. And so some of us got family issues, and blood is not thicker, but we need to have the blood of Jesus Christ to wash our sins away and to heal those broken relationships. I want to end with that because that's what the Holy Spirit just pressed upon me. That the whole time you were thinking about your family and what was not going right, how they wronged you. And yet we've lost sight of who is my brother? Who is my sister? All those who do the will of, what is this will? We might be joined together. Call that sister today. It's going to shock her. Who's this? Your sister. Call that brother today you've not spoken to for some time and say, hey, it's It's me. Blood is thicker than water, and I'm sorry, but this blood has helped me. Come on, let's stand today and give God the praise. Is blood thicker than water? Go with the Jesus perspective. From day to day, it will never. Let's sing a little bit of that.
The blood Jesus shed
for me. Make it personal.
Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose.
Here's why. It reaches.
Oh, it reaches
highest. Aren't you glad about that?
And it flows
lowest.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never.
Let's say that one more time. It reaches.
Oh,
don't you know
that it
reaches? How many are glad about that today?
I am.
It flows.
Oh Lord, that blood.
From day to day,
it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose.
Come on, give God the praise today. Come on, bless his name. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. When he takes you off script. And maybe the peace you got today was that blood has not been thicker than water. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, make it right. But I tried, Reverend. Do your part. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've been getting in your business. Nobody sent me a text or a card. But sometimes the Holy Ghost will say, look here, here's the issue. Let's bow today. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We can't dismiss the natural family and operate in the spiritual family unless the two are conjoined. I pray in the name of Jesus that your word might heal today those broken relationships. That you might make it right as only you can. I pray even now, if there's one in this place who has a broken relationship with you, that they may receive you unto themselves. The Bible says that we must come to a place, we believe that God sent Jesus to die for our sins, shedding his blood, and believe that he rose again with all power in his hands. The Bible says that you'll be saved. Today, whether it be in this place or whether it be over technology, you know whether you are saved or not. You know whether or not you've given your heart to Jesus. I want to just encourage you in the Lord today. in this moment to give your heart to Jesus. Nothing like it. Nothing like it to have life eternal. God, we thank you for the transaction that's taken place in the hearts of your people here and beyond. We thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, the Lord. Let's give God a hand today. He's mighty good. We thank God for you. And as we end the broadcast, we certainly thank each of you for pressing your way. I didn't mess with y'all. Y'all took the hour. I got this hour. Come out in good number today, and to God be the glory. As we prepare to make transition from this place, it is our prayer and our desire that you might continue to look to the hills from which cometh your help. All of your help cometh from the Lord. Amen. If you're here today, you desire to be a part of this fellowship, we can always cut the camera when you come, unless you want to say, hey. But if you're here today, you want to walk for the Lord, then you can. The doors are always open. Many of you have just come and you just blended in. We just start calling you cuz. And so we became brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that good? Let's bless the Lord today, amen. Give God a hand of praise. Amen. You can always go back and with our great technical team, see this on Facebook later. Amen. We'll make a transition now.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.